It's a great time to remember the reason for the season. And usually in Christmas, you know, we get primary gifts. We get primary gifts. You know, something specific. Am I all right? Do you want to hold them for me then? Okay. Been told to button my shirt up. Primary gifts. And the primary gift of Christmas, we should never forget, is Jesus. All the secondary stuff, that comes and goes. My little grandson shies into Paw Patrol. He knows every member of Paw Patrol. He can name it. He can name every transport thing. He's three. Three? Two. Three. He knows every member. He even knows the cats' names. All the cats. He knows them. He knows everything. But like anything, it'll be a fad, and probably by four, you'll say Paw Patrol what? And all that Paw Patrol will be chucked aside like the Lego is, and everything else is, it's finished. Seasons of life. And we go through seasons of life. But we cannot allow the season of Christmas to bypass us, to not reflect upon the goodness of God. Can I hear an amen? Can I have my glasses now? Turn with me to John 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Now that's the other one. We don't need that one yet, son. Gospel John. Gospel John. I want to read from 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word, this man, this person called Jesus, was the Word in the beginning. He's not something that happened in the manger. He is forever. Amen. This Christ, this Jesus, this Son of God, this God manifest in the flesh, is forever. He's not just this baby emblem that we see in a manger. He is an everlasting God. He is an Alpha and Omega. He is the Word of God. And we've got to remember that this Word became flesh. Amen. It says this: He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. The Word became flesh. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. The Word is power. I'm going to reflect that again with us this morning. Whatever you want to see live, speak. Whatever you want to see die, zip the lip. Because life and death are in the power of your... Amen? All things are created through the power of the Word. You want something to start developed by faith. I'm talking about what God has spoken to you, not something you hope and not something you desire, not a pink Cadillac or a Rolls Royce. I'm talking about what God has said to you. You start speaking it. Amen. In Him was life, verse 4, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I'm going to say that again. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Where's this light today? It's in where? In you. You are the light now to the world. He is the light, and you are now the emblems of that. You're the torchbearers of God, right? And the light shines in the darkness of the world, and the darkness does not comprehend it, and it will never comprehend it because you are a peculiar people. It will never comprehend it. You are, as a Christian, you are wasting your time trying to prove the gospel true. Trying to prove Jesus is true. What you've got to do is speak the truth and let the truth do its job. Amen? They will debate you till you're black and blue. I do not have to defend the gospel. I certainly don't have to defend Jesus Christ. He is who He is. And He will prove Himself who He is, especially as that day approaches. When that day comes and Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, they will all know. Amen? So the kingdom of God has to be demonstrated. The kingdom of God is where? Within you. So the kingdom of God on earth has to be demonstrated through you. That's what the kingdom of God on earth is about. The kingdom of God locked up inside of you is to show a demonstration of the power and the glory of the kingdom of God in you to the world. The kingdom of God to come is ruler, dominion, power, and authority where he changes everything. Amen? Are you with me? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to be a witness of that light, that the true light which comes gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You've been born of God. Amen. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of flesh, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth. Therefore, my life should be full of grace and truth. Amen. Galatians 4, verse 4 to 7 says this. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that they might receive the adoption as sons. And we became, and because you are sons, sorry, I'm trying to go fast. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Matthew 1 gives us a picture of the 42 generations of Jesus' coming. And I haven't got time to go through all that this morning, but there's 14 generations to David, then there's 14 generations to Jehoiakim, which they go into the captivity. Then from Jehoiakim up to Jesus, there's 14 generations. Generation after generation produced a son. They produced a son to go into the next generation, a posterity. Jesus, if you count them, Jesus is actually the 41st generation. And that says Christ, who is the 42nd generation. You with me? Jesus' generation was 41. But the Christ, which means the anointed one, is not his son. Because every man had a son. Is that right? Generation after generation. That's what a generation means. A son after a son after a son after a son after a son. Is that what it means? But the 42nd generation in Matthew chapter 1 says the Christ. The Christ is not a literal person. It's not a generation. It's who he was. Amen. But those who have faith in him are called the sons of what? Sons of God. Now I'm going to rattle your cage this morning, so please be with me. Jesus' sons are his body, multi-membered body, the sons of God. The Christ or the Christos or the anointing is not in heaven. Jesus is in heaven, but he left someone behind called the who? Who is the anointed of God. And where does he reside in every believer? In you. So you are the body of Christ on earth. You are the 42nd generation. Every born-again believer, past, present, and future, that are hooked into him, are the anointed of God to bring forth, and you can read that in Psalm 22, you can read that in Isaiah 61. I will not have time for all that now, but I just want to tell you You are the generation, whatever the anointed generation is that is living, that is the one he will use to bring forth the Christ on earth. Thessalonians, the Christ, Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of. So where's the Christ? In you. He ain't floating in heaven. He's in you. Anyway, that's a byproduct. But let's get to it. We'll talk about that one day. He entered the world, and Jesus became the greatest mystery of Christmas. That he would allow himself to even enter the world. That he entered the world for a reason. He became a baby for a reason. He didn't come at 30. He could have come at 30. He could have come as a man. He could have come with all the accolades of a king. He could have come in all the power and the authority and revealed himself as the Almighty. But no, he chose the baby that he might come into that position that he can now learn to experience what we go through. He wrapped himself up in his own creation. And he came to creation so he could experience what we experience. He doesn't experience everything I've gone through. But the Bible does say in all points. So there's points that he was created to experience. But there is something about being the babe in the manger for him to come forth through a woman that he might commune with his people, this God, this person called the Word, which was forever with the Father at the beginning, and that everything was created through him and by him, without him nothing was created. He became this flesh, and he walked as a living God and all man at the same time. So he could then endure and go through and experience what you and I need to experience and overcome. So then he could overcome them in his flesh. That would then equip me to overcome them in my flesh when I got born again. Do you believe that? The greatest mystery of Christian is why would God lower himself to come into the world as a human being? To partake of the pain, the suffering of human experience, to allow himself to be mocked, ridiculed by his own creation, whom he formed with his own hands, who did not even know him and who he was. The answer to that mystery of why he did that is his love for us, which opens another mystery. Why? Why? Why would God do that? Why would God love me? Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Have we got that one up there, son? Did I put it up? I've got it. It says this. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than the other peoples, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you. That's it. He chose you not because I was or you were anything special. Not because I was good at anything. In fact, it says they were the least. He just chose to love me. I want you to ponder on that. He just chose. He just chose to love me. And he, because when he makes a commitment of love, because 1 John says, God is what? God is love. When he makes that commitment to love, it's never ending. Not our way of loving. Because sometimes his love chastens me. His love will provoke me. His love will challenge me. His love is so pure, so right, so true, that in the midst of all that, perfect love, absolute perfect love, I can understand that no matter what I'm going through or have failed in even, He still loves me. Doesn't mean He doesn't get disappointed in me. Doesn't mean I can't hurt Him. But He will not stop loving me. He will leave the 99. He will go after His one. Because He loves me. He will open His arms to the prodigal son. You ever thought of that? He never said to the prodigal son, what did you spend the money on? Did He? Never mentioned that. He never said to him, so you blew it now, son. You got nothing left. You got nothing left. You blew it. And the older son, who's got 2/3, he's only spent his third, never said to him, well, you know, you left, so find your own way. He never said that to him. He opened his arms, changed his robe, put on a new turban on his head, and the most amazing thing is He gave him His ring, His seal. Because when the son comes back in the right mind, the last thing a son needs to hear is what he's done wrong. What he needs to hear is how much he's loved. And if we're really honest with ourselves, no one has to tell me what I've done wrong. I already know what I've done wrong. Because my conscience, my Bible says, bears witness to me. Is that true? Therefore, we have to be a people after His own spirit, after His own heart, and be a people that loves. Which is a challenge all by itself. Christmas is one of the greatest experiences of how to love. The answer to that is love for us. The mystery is still real. How could God love us so? It is a question that He knows. Only He knows the answer to. But one thing I'm sure of is God is love. Turn with me to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Now you can put them up. Beloved, let us love one another. Now if I'm to bear the image of Christ, book of Ephesians, if I'm to bear the image of Christ, that image is not just in power, not just in demonstration of power, not just in words, not just in prophecy. No. It's in love. It's not the giftings that show that you're His, or the wisdom you speak, or the number of prayers you make, but the love, His love, which is demonstrated through you. You shall know My disciples for the love they have for one another. The greatest challenge in our Christian walk is love. It's the truth. I'm sorry, it's the truth. Loving people. It says this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. How? That God sent His only Son into the world so we might live through Him. In this, His Son, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word. Literally means a sacrifice. For our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected or matured. 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us. By this we know. By this we know. This is our witness. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we might have the confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, what is he? What's the word we've been speaking all morning? As he is love, so are we in this world. So what are we then? What should we be? Love. We should be love. So are we in this world. There is therefore no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I'm going to say that again. Therefore, there is no fear in love. When you have the revelation of his love toward you, no matter what the enemy tries to bring and separate you from, for who can separate us from the love of God? No matter what he tries to separate me from that love, no matter what I've done to think that I can be separated from his love, perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in this love. Book of Romans says this. Therefore, chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Doesn't say there's no conviction. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And my assurance of that is his love. Amen. Luke 2 and 7 says this. And he was born in a manger. He was born in a manger. He was born in all humility. Like any baby, he was born in total vulnerability. In fact, I was just saying to my daughter, my grandson's name, Sonny. Sonny. Anyway, I'm watching him. And I said, of all the things God created, the most greatest creation he made was man. He's designed to live and rule and dominate over everything on the earth. Yeah, but when he's born, he's the most vulnerable. The most vulnerable of all. You see babies, you see calves get born, you see little giraffes get born, you see animals get born, and immediately they jump to their feet. Not a baby. The most vulnerable of all things. And I was thinking about that, saying, Lord, you know, we've got to come to you as a little child. We've really got to allow our hearts to be vulnerable before him. To say, Lord, you know, I need you. Because without you, like the babe, I cannot live. Like Sonny's mum, if he didn't feed her, he wouldn't be here. Sorry, she didn't feed him. He wouldn't be here. He didn't feed her, no. He doesn't feed her, no. He was born in a manger. There was no room for him at the inn. Remember that? And so, you know, we see these Christmas settings, and we see the wooden thing, the nativities, the wooden thing, you know, and the cows and the stuff, and there's Jesus in a little rocking, not even a manger, it's like a crib. you know. But the reality was, he was probably in a cave, a wet cave. And it was dark. And he was in the feeding trough. There was no room for him at the inn. He was born in a dark place. Amen. Can we make room for our King? There was no room for him. But can we invite him into our dark place? Can I be vulnerable enough to my King to say, yes, Lord? Can I come to him as that little babe at this hour, Christmas, reflecting on him, saying, here I am, Lord. I'll come as that little child. I'll be vulnerable. I'll expose my heart. I invite you in to my inn. Come to that dark place in me. Bring your light. Amen. Can we make room in our inn for the morning in our hearts or our living, our speaking, or our giving, or our loving? He wants to be in all of it. He wants me to be the reflection of the Christ, the anointing on the earth. Romans 5:5 says this. We'll finish here. Now hope does not disappoint. That's a sermon all by itself. Yesterday's hope can disappoint. But now hope does not disappoint because the love of God, if you're saved here this morning, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. Therefore, it's absolutely ridiculous for a Christian to say, I struggle because I just cannot love them. That's not the truth. The truth is, you've chosen not to. Because if the Bible's true, and I'm going to believe the Bible more than you, if the Bible's true, the love of God has been shed abroad, or cast over your heart. It is full of his love. What I've got to choose to do is release that love. And if I want to be an image of him, 1 John 4 says that I've got to reflect that love. In fact, he commanded me to reflect that love. If I want to show that I'm a disciple of his, I must reflect that love. I can't afford to hold back that love. If he is love, and I'm the same as he is upon the earth, I'm supposed to be a demonstrator of love. The fullness of God. Do you believe that this morning? Therefore, we have to be this vessel of love. John 2 says this. Six water pots, earthen vessels, filled with water. Party's going on. They come to him and says, they've ran out of wine. It's a great picture of the Old and New Testament. They ran out of wine. Mary says to Jesus, they ran out of wine, Jesus. He says, what's that to do with me, woman? I don't know if Dad was happy about that, but anyway. What's that to do with me, woman? Eh? For my time has not yet come. So she says to the servants, whatever he says, you do it. So he goes to the six. Six represents man. Earthen vessels represent the vessel. The water represents the washing. Water is a type of purification of the Old Testament. He said, fill them up. And then he did his first miracle. He turned the water into wine. It's impossible to turn water into wine. And it was the best of the best wines. Because what God is saying in this hour, you can wash and you can do all the externals, because that's what the water does. It can wash you externally. but will never change you internally. But the wine can affect your mind, can affect your heart. And if you've ever been in the world like I was, believe me, it can affect your mind. It can change you. And exactly that's what God wants. He wants His wine to change the way I think, act, and behave. Amen? This Jesus, the Word, came through all them generations to fulfill something and release something in the body of Christ. For today, that story of the manger that's just the beginning. There's an ongoing work and process of the Spirit of God working through His church to release what He did on that day. And He wants to do it through you. He wants to do it through me. Amen. Will you make room for Him this morning? Will you make room for Him in your heart, in your walk, in your talk, in your life? That He can show the Christ in you, the hope of glory to the world. This hope will not fall out of heaven. This hope will not just manifest. This hope is in you. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. I really believe we've got to make room. Who wants 2024 to be better than 2023? Can I see some hands this morning? Are you going to make room for it? Are you going to make room for that? Make room for Him. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. Father, I thank You for my happy Christmas. I thank You that You presented me with Him. I thank You that I was able to freely receive. Now, Father, let His life reflect in my life Your glory. I ask You, Father, let me not forget what Christmas really means. Let me not forget that You want to be a witness of that Christmas to everyone. That for God so loved the world that He gave. Father, help us to reflect that Christ in us, that the world might know that they're loved. Help us to speak the truth. Help us to walk the truth. Help us to talk the truth, that the truth might set the captive free. We thank You that we can celebrate. We thank You we can gather as families and just love on one another. But Father, we also thank You that Your love will change us and our love toward them will change them. Help us to love like You love. Help us to be that Son of God in Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning, you tell Him amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to say Merry Christmas to everyone here. Me and my family extend our greatest happiness and wishes to you. Just remember the reason for the season. Grieved my heart the other morning, the other afternoon, when I watched the carols getting sung. I can't remember what they're called. It's on TV anyway. And all these people are singing the carols in Sydney, singing these carols. And I'm looking at them, I'm thinking, they're singing about Him. Yet their lifestyles speak the opposite. And I'm thinking, not in all of it, even the carols, there was not one mention of the name of Jesus. They picked carols specifically about Santa, about joy, but not once did they ever mention that wonderful name of why the Christ month, which Christmas means, the Christ month is here. They'll take the holiday. They'll take the holiday pay. They'll go on holidays for it, but they don't want to mention him. Be aware, because I'm telling you, the enemy is subtle. So when the kids are watching something, make sure you mention Jesus. Amen. Mention the name Jesus. Tell them how much Jesus loves them. Tell them how much Jesus has done for them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want to say we love you and appreciate you. And get expectant for 2024. When we cast our net on the other side, God's going to give us the strength to see a reaping of a harvest. Who believes that? Amen. God bless you. Have a good week. Great day tomorrow. Happy Christmas. Amen. Praise the Lord.